Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Amen. Well, welcome to church. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Tracy. I'm part of the incredible team here at our Port Kennedy campus. Incredible Pastor Mal, our campus pastor, is off at Belmont, blessed up at the back. So this morning you get to hear from me. And I really believe that this is a word for today. I really do. And not just for you, it's a word for me as well. As I was preparing this word, God was doing some stuff in me at the same time. And so today I want to share on the thought, are you ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Now turn to your other neighbor and smile, because there's always this weird thing that happens afterwards. Like, just do something, okay? Because it's weird. Can you believe that we are, wait for it, 18 days away from Christmas? I know. You all sound a bit excited. Who here is feeling ready? Like, you're prepared, your Christmas tree's up, your plans are in place, and you are ready. I'm kind of ready. Like my Christmas tree, you'll hear why later, I promise. But it's not up yet. And my plans, although they're in progress, thanks to my incredible husband, not me, the plans are in progress, but they're still a little bit hazy. Like, there's a few things to be figured out. And so despite all of that, I'm feeling ready. In actual fact, let me correct myself. I am ready. I am ready to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm ready to have fun on Christmas Eve with all of you. So I hope you're all going to be here. I'm ready to enjoy Christmas Day with my family and my friends. But most of all, I am ready in season and out of season. No matter what my plans look like, whether they're locked in tight or they're still a little bit rocky, I'm talking about my everyday walk with Jesus. And when the time feels a little bit weird, I want to be somebody who's ready on a good day and on a bad day. I want to be somebody who's ready in season and out of season. There's this beautiful just picture as I was thinking about this, that readiness is actually a heart posture. And it's a heart posture that I want to have. And when I don't, it's a posture that I want to take before Jesus, and I want to say, will you just shape me in this? Will you shape me in that heart posture of readiness? In 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, Paul actually encourages Timothy to be ready to share the gospel no matter what. He says, preach the word. Be ready when the time is right, and even when it is not, keep your sense of urgency. Convenient or inconvenient, welcome or unwelcome. We are called to be a people who are ready to share the gospel. No matter what is going on in our lives, no matter whether we feel like things are ideal or a little bit disruptive, no matter we feel like the opportunity is comfortable or uncomfortable, we are called to keep a sense of urgency, to be ready to share the good news. Not only tell people about Jesus, but actually invite them in. Invite them to experience him personally for themselves. I want to read a passage of scripture that shows us what readiness looks like. And it's not just readiness to receive. It's the readiness to go out and invite others to receive as well. So if you have your Bibles with me, why don't you turn to Luke 14 of a prominent Pharisee, somebody who was well-versed in the Sabbath day. All of these Pharisees are watching him. They're waiting to catch him out. They've been doing it throughout his sort of ministry days, and they're sitting like waiting. And while they're enjoying a meal, a man with dropsy approaches him. It's a swelling of limbs, and Jesus heals him. And in a moment, he almost waits for the Pharisees to say something. But he knows that he uses the very law that they claim to be experts in to show how his actions are actually aligned with the heart and the will of God. While seated at the table, Jesus begins to tell them and teach them on pride, on humility, on honor, and motives confronting their desire for status, for recognition. And he goes on, and then he begins to share this parable of the great banquet. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and I need to go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought five yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, look, I've just gotten married, so, you know, I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you've ordered has been done. But there is still remains, and compel them to come in, so that those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. You see, in Jesus' day, when a banquet was organized, everyone knew when the banquet was going to take place. They knew the day beforehand, but the hour of the banquet was something that wasn't given until the very day the banquet was being held. So the idea was that you were ready. You were ready to attend the banquet. The minute you heard the call, you were like, right, we're there. But yet we see these guests who knew the banquet was coming suddenly offered excuse after excuse for why they couldn't attend. One needed to inspect a field that he had just bought. The other had oxen to test run. Another got married. I mean, it's a valid excuse, but still. And I get it. We all get it. We're all busy people. We all have things to do, places to go. Many of us are ready for a whole heap of things that God, at purpose, demands he's never placed on us. And that's not condemnation. It's just real life. I mean, even this morning, whilst I was getting ready for church, I had this moment where I thought, when am I going to take my yoke of oxen for a test run? I don't know about any of you. But in all seriousness, excuses are excuses. The theologian Charles Spurgeon actually says this, excuses are curses. And when you have no excuses left, there will be hope for you. I want to be someone who is full of hopeful expectation and not excuses. The banquet feast that Jesus spoke of in Luke, the feast that has been prepared for each and every one of us, or whether you're still figuring out your faith, the banquet is prepared, and Jesus has personally invited you to a seat at his table. Psalm 23 tells us that there is a table prepared for us in our joy, in our sorrow, in the valleys, on the mountaintops. The table has been set. All we need is a readiness to respond. And let me tell you, this table isn't a light meal or a quick snack. It's not tea and cake. This is a feast. It is a table overflowing with everything we need. A table overflowing with the things only a Savior can give us. You know what? The first guests weren't ready. But the ones the servant went out and invited in, they weren't only ready. If I'm honest, and I guess this is a really good place, the last few months. As a family, we've been walking through some pretty tough medical stuff. And it's left me feeling like maybe I just need to take a step back. Just need to kind of, you know, sit for a little bit. And I don't think any of our friends and our, you know, our close friends would think anything of us if as a family we did that. They would be like, no, guys, we understand. But as I've sat with God and I've thought about these things, I've been kind of challenged that that's not what we're meant to do. I'm really thankful that I have got my incredible husband, Bruce, who champions me on, who says, no, this is, I've got an incredible campus that encourages me. She allows me to do things that actually take me out of the campus. And I've got an incredible team that I serve alongside right here at the campus that carry things for me when I'm not away. And so when I got offered and kind of invited to go along on a trip to Cambodia, even though I didn't feel ready, all of these incredible people were saying, you know what, go. And more importantly, God was saying, go. And so I did. I went on a year 12 leavers trip. I know. I was a little bit shocked and surprised myself. Firstly, that they had actually invited me. But secondly, that I really felt like, yeah, I should do this. But I just want to tell you, it was amazing. I had the best time. Oh, they did. But it was just so enjoyable. It was just an enjoyable time. Wings. Some of them, most of them in actual fact, had never been away without their parents. And so I actually got to experience them kind of growing up a little and maturing a little and making some decisions without mom or dad telling them what to do. I also got to see God working in them and through them. And you know what? I got to see them minister to others. While we were there, we spent a lot of time doing some ministry stuff, and we also spent time at our beautiful Phnom Penh campus. And one thing that really kind of struck me in this moment is that those Cambodians are ready. They are ready to encounter. They're ready to gather with their church family, ready, and they are expectant for God to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. And I tell you, if anyone has a reason to have some excuses to not be ready, it would be them. This nation of Cambodia is facing unimaginable challenges still to this day. Many of them live in poverty. Poverty you actually can't even begin to imagine. But surrounded by lack and hardship, they have chosen to not allow excuses to curse them. Instead, they come hungry and ready to step into everything that Jesus has for them and everything he's called them to. Leaving Cambodia left me with this real sense of urgency, an urgency to be ready, ready to preach the gospel in season and out of season. This has prepared for me beforehand, ready to go out into the highways and the byways and invite the community of Rockingham step into faith with Jesus. I'm ready to see them be set free. But just like the invited guests in the parable, if I allow, or we allow, excuses to get in the way, none of them will get invited. None of them will come in. So I definitely want to be someone who says yes to the call of God. I want to be someone who says, I am ready. So this morning I have 3 points that I'd love to share with you that I honestly believe will help set us up for this readiness that we're being called to. Point number one is this, and yes to devotion. In Luke 14, and to make excuses. One said, I've bought a field. The other said, I've got these oxen. The other one was like, I've got married. In the parable, no one didn't believe in the banquet. They all knew it was happening. But on the day that it was taking place, they all had excuses as to why they couldn't attend. And you know what? This is so often what happens with each of us. We want to spend time with Jesus. We want to sit at his table and feast on his meal, but we're distracted. And you know what? Our excuses sometimes sound pretty reasonable. I'm busy. I just need to do something with the kids. I've just got this stuff on with the family. I've got these work commitments. I've got this demand and that demand. But Jesus calls us to choose devotion over distraction. He isn't asking you to ignore your responsibilities from what he is calling you to. Why don't you turn with me to Luke 10? We're going to reading from verse 38. It says, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. I really love that. Martha, Martha. You can kind of just see Jesus going, oh boy. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed only one, it will not be taken from her. Mary, Martha, understandable, when Martha hears Jesus is coming, she wants her home to be ready. She wants to do all this preparation. She wants to invite him in. She wants things to be just right. She did nothing wrong in wanting to have things prepared. But it became a problem when the preparation distracted her from sitting at the feet of Jesus. When she took her eyes off Jesus and became annoyed at Mary. Jesus reminds each of us that when we choose devotion to Him over distraction. It's that very devotion that cannot be taken from us. And it's the thing that we should long for. Can I challenge each of us to choose one distraction, one excuse to lay down? Not about perfection, simply about priority. Are you ready to say no to pride and yes to humility? Luke 14:11 says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The people seated at the dinner table with Jesus wanted the best seats, the best reputation, and the best association. When you read the parable of the banquet, it seems that the invited guests perhaps didn't think much of the master of the banquet. Maybe they were waiting for someone a little bit more prominent to extend an invitation to them. Maybe they wanted to sit at a better seat in a better house where people would talk about where they had just been and who they were mingling with. But you know what? They left things that they had already committed to. They placed more demands of attending the banquet. Throughout Scripture, we're actually warned about pride. It leads to distraction. We read in Proverbs 16, verse 18. They're on the back there for you. It brings disgrace. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Pride brings opposition from God. James 4, verse 6. It brings punishment. Proverbs 16, verse 5. God humbles the proud. We read about it in Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar, this king full of pride, is humbled under the mighty hand of God. And Isaiah 2, verse 11 tells us that the proud will be brought low. I think it's safe to say that pride is not a characteristic God. Humility, however, is the posture of someone who is ready to be shaped by God for themselves and wait for God to lift them up. Humility is the posture of someone who is ready. Humility says, "Lord, interrupt my plans. Lord, I will serve whomever you ask me to serve. Lord, I'm available." When we say yes to humility, we leave no room for pride. My final point is this. Are you ready to say no to comfort and yes to calling? Luke 14:21 says, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." The servant in the parable reminds us what it means to be ready to go wherever God asks. To be ready, went out and he invited the poor, the crippled, the blind, invited to a banquet. Now, inviting them might have been a bit awkward for the servant, but I can guarantee you bringing them would have been way more uncomfortable and way more inconvenient. The cripple would have needed help walking. The blind wouldn't have been able to see where they were going. The lame might have needed to be carried in. The poor would not have had clothing suitable for a banquet on. But the servant understood that the banquet wasn't just something you attended. It was an invitation you carried to everyone everywhere. There is an account in Scripture about four friends who choose calling over comfort. Band, you can join me. Why don't you turn to Luke 5 and reading from verse 18. "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a steeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, and they took off some of the tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd." Wherever Jesus went, he drew a crowd, and not just of hundreds. Sometimes it was a crowd of thousands. And these four men with their friend, they knew that all their friend needed was to be at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus would touch him. And so you know what they did? They carried him. Scripture says they carried him on a mat. They didn't load him into a ute and drive to Jesus. They didn't carry him on a mattress or even a plank of wood. They actually had a flimsy little rug, a mat, and they carried him. A grown man. Men are heavy. I promise you they are. But they carried him. They carried him a far distance because they knew what their friend needed. And it would have been uncomfortable. And there was this huge crowd outside and they couldn't get in and trash their house. I'm quite glad I was not the owner of said house. But they trashed it. You know why? Because they knew that their friend needed to be at the feet of Jesus. And they didn't care what it cost them. They didn't care if the owner came out afterwards screaming and shouting at them. They didn't care if it was an uncomfortable place for them to be in. They had been called by God to be friends that this man needed. And they did exactly what was needed to be done. Just like the servant, these friends understood that the encounter with Jesus, a seat at his table, wasn't just something to attend personally. It was an invitation to extend to others, even those who needed help getting there. Jesus sends us into places that are inconvenient, uncomfortable, and sometimes perfectly planned and set up. It's simply about saying yes to the Master's request. Isaiah 6 verse 8, the prophet says, on the command of Jesus, I will go. Why don't we respond like him? Here I am, send me. This season provides us with so many opportunities. Opportunities to invite others. Opportunities to tell of the goodness of God in our lives, even if we are walking through some pretty tough things. Opportunities to go to our universities and our schools and our workplaces, into our communities, to our neighbors, and invite them to come and feast at the banquet. We need to be ready to invite others to the you're sitting here.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.